Are you caring for an aging parent? Are you searching for answers? Welcome to Senior Care Live, a program dedicated to you, providing information, education, and resources, helping you become the best caregiver you can be. I'm your host, Steve Kuecker. Senior Care Live. Thanks for tuning in today. I really appreciate it. This program is all about educating seniors and their caregivers, helping them make informed decisions. And this is a great place to listen and learn. And so many people consider Senior Care Live appointment radio, and I hope you will too. As always, if you have a question, visit online at Senior Care Live, L-I-V-E, SeniorCareLive.com, or you can go old school and give us a phone call, no worries at all, at 1-800-331-6445. All right, so we have an excellent program today, and as everyone knows, and it's hard to believe, really, I mean, truly hard to believe, today marks the 20th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks on U.S. soil. And it's a time to remember the courage of so many firefighters and paramedics and New York policemen and New York's Port Authority officers and all who sacrificed their lives to save others. And it's also a time to honor the memory of all of those who perished at Shanksville, Pennsylvania, and the Pentagon and the Twin Towers. So today with us is Mr. David Wiley, President and CEO of Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care, and Todd Steinbrecher, Director of Patient Support Services. And David and Todd, welcome to Senior Care Live.
Thanks, Steve. Good to be here today.
Thank you, Steve.
All right. Excellent. So I hate to even think about 9/11 tears me up every year. And this year, I think it's just going to be even that much more difficult. But I'm glad you're here with me today, truly. So, David, you've been with us regularly to discuss the important work and the many facets of Kansas City Hospice. And we're glad to have you back. So can you introduce Todd and tell us more about his role?
I sure can, Steve, and it's good to be with you on this important day. So Todd Steinbrecher is our Director of Patient Care Support Services for Kansas City Hospice. He's been with us for more than 6 years. Prior to his current role, Todd was a community liaison for several years. And he's also served in various leadership roles, including area director and operations for a health and wellness organization. Todd also, importantly, has operations management experience as honorably serving in the United States Navy as a search and rescue operator manager for 9 years before joining the private sector. Todd also co-chaired the Veterans Service Committee at Kansas City Hospice, as well as serving as the Community Veterans Advisory Board for Johnson County Community College, as well as creating a Veterans Initiative Program, a VIP program to assist veterans with their benefits.
All right. Excellent. And Todd, welcome, welcome, welcome. And please tell us about the work that you do for Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care.
All right. Thank you, Steve. And thank you, David, for that. It's a real pleasure to be here. And first, I'm thankful to be a part of such an incredible organization. And as a veteran myself, I'm grateful to work for an organization which offers really a unique focus on the needs of veterans and their families at the end of life, which is something that actually brought me into hospice with my own father, who was a veteran. My main focus at Kansas City Hospice is really leading the team that ensures successful admission to our service, whatever that service looks like. So leading the intake team, sending staff and nurses out to the field to meet with patients and families, dealing with medical equipment, pharmacy issues, things like that. So all in all, kind of the dispatch of everything we do.
All right. Excellent. And And Todd, first of all, I just want to say thank you for your service. As we were discussing off mic, you said, hey, I was over there, you know, when I was serving. And so I thought I was a lot younger than you guys. But and you are. But I just wanted to say thanks again for your service. It means a lot. And it's something that my family and I definitely appreciate for sure. So could you start talking about the state of veterans in the United States?
Well, and I want to say thanks for that, Steve. And yeah, I mean, the 20th anniversary of 9/11 is pretty surreal for me. It brings up a lot of different things. But to talk about what you're asking, the state of veterans in the United States, and this information is less than 10 years old. And with the census and things like that, new information will come out. But overall, approximately since the inception of the United States, there's more than 40 million people who have worn the uniform and have served in one of the armed services. So we're looking at quite a few people. And, you know, in 2013, which is kind of the last statistic, really, there were more than 38,000 veterans in Kansas City metro area who served in all three conflicts, which would have included World War II, Korean conflict, and the Vietnam War.
Wow.
It's actually more than that, but we're still waiting on some data with Gulf War I and Operation Enduring Freedom and Iraqi Freedom. Another interesting statistic is there are more than 2 million female veterans. Nearly 10 million veterans are age 65 or older. And as much as we think about unemployment and homelessness and things like that, it's actually a very small percentage. It's around 10 to 15% of veterans that are homeless. And a lot of people think it's a lot higher.
I wish it would be lower, frankly, but Yeah, absolutely. So, okay, well, so Todd, can you tell us a few things about what this day means to you and how service members are being honored this year and through your work with veterans at Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care?
Be happy to, Steve. First of all, it's very personal. I was in from 99 to 08. And with that being said, for me personally, I have a reunion, a 20-year reunion with people I served with this weekend. So once we get off the radio, I'm going to be hanging out with a lot of guys that I served with for 9 years. And that means a lot because the brotherhood and the sisterhood to me is very important. So I'm excited about that. We are going to have a moment of silence, just like many of people in the nation and around the world. I just have a couple interesting things just for people to think about. Most people remember where they were. If you were born after 1995, you probably don't remember, but if you were born before 1995, almost everyone can say where they were and they can remember it.
I guarantee I remember, and I'm going to share that story later on in the program.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, Central Standard Time, it was 7:46 a.m. When the first plane hit the tower. And it took 102 minutes between that and the second plane for both towers to fall to the ground. And just to personalize it a little bit, and some of the people I've served with, we take this to heart for sure. There were over 100 expectant fathers, you know, that were in those towers that never came back. And their children are coming of age now. And if you can imagine, these guys are 19, about to turn 20 years old. There were 2,976 people killed that day on 9/11. Thousands more were injured. And that's one of the things that's really important to us at Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care is, you know, joining up with the We Honor Veterans Program through the Veterans Administration and the National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization. So we deal with people from conflicts from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Gulf War, Iraqi Freedom, Enduring Freedom, and anything that hopefully won't come in the future. But if it does, we'll be ready for them.
Okay. And then, are there any recognition ceremonies?
Yeah. So part of the We Honor Veterans is we do recognition ceremonies. We also help veterans with their benefits. You know, I've got a couple stories if we have time. And, you know, I really want to talk about one ceremony. You know, post-traumatic stress, a lot of people think or are confused about it. And we really focus and spend a lot of time on working with our staff and what that means. You don't have to be in the military to have post-traumatic stress, but what we have understood and working with the VA, by the way, We Honor Veterans is a mandated Congress program, and it's a voluntary program to do, and we're very serious about it. So we take advantage of everything they have to offer, but we, you know, have a situation where a lot of post-traumatic stress, a lot of memories, things like that can come up at end of life. And the more we educate our staff, the more we can help our veterans, because we don't want them to feel like they're misunderstood. A lot of times people share at the end of life stuff they haven't shared their entire life with their closest people.
Absolutely. And I'm sure you've heard a lot more, but I've heard stories of how that's really important to a lot of veterans, particularly at the end of life, to just really discuss some of maybe the most difficult stories that maybe they've never ever shared before, to just kind of get that off their chest, if you will. So, all right. Well, so David and Todd, just hang on. We'll have more coming up. But first, the Senior Care Live question of the week. How many Americans living today are too young to remember 9/11? A, 15%, B, 20%, C, 25%, or D, 30%? The answer coming up next. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, call now, toll free, 1-800-331-6445. Operators are standing by, 1-800-331-6445. I'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, go to seniorcarelive.com. And don't forget, you can stream this program to any electronic device at seniorcarelive.com and through the app audacy.com. And that's audacy.com. All right, back to the Senior Care Live question of the week. How many Americans living today are too young to remember 9/11? And the possibilities are A, 15%, B, 20%, C, 25%, or D, 30%. And the answer is... C, 25%. Isn't that amazing? And according to a Washington Post analysis of U.S. Census data, approximately one quarter of Americans were either not born yet or too young, 6 years old or younger, on 9/11/2001 to remember the event. So that's almost hard to believe, but then you think, yeah, that was 20 years ago, right? So that's pretty stunning. We're here today with Mr. David Wiley and Todd Steinbrecher from Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care. And Todd, you were visiting with us a little bit about some of the stories that you were wanting to share, and you had mentioned specifically PTSD. Could you share a story on that?
Yes. And you know what, Steve? I mean, for me, like, I feel 20 years isn't really that long, but it also seems like it went by fast. And that's actually a perfect segue, because, you know, we're talking about eras of folks that come into our lives with what we do in hospice that go back to World War II. So if any of those folks are listening, or, you know, a different era, I can only imagine what that might feel like for them. But, you know, being able to remember what happens sometimes when you're in conflict at end of life, studies have shown that trauma can exacerbate at the end of life. And we don't want to mistake that. And that's why it's really important for us to, you know, if they're willing to share the veteran anything at all, it's information that we can share with our team and their family members, obviously at the utmost level of respect, because we certainly don't want to bring stuff up just because we think it's important. Every person's different. But one example is there was a World War II veteran that ended up being on hospice, and there was a chaplain. Chaplain ended up happening to be a veteran as well. Well, people thought this guy was just being difficult, but what ended up happening was they kept putting blankets on him because he was very cold and they didn't understand what was going on. And this chaplain came up and said, "Hey, do you mind if I talk to this gentleman for a minute?" And so he did, and he talked to him and told him where he was and where he served. And there was a little bit of calmness that took place in that room. And it ended up happening that the gentleman was sharing a story. And what had happened was the blankets that were being put on him was a situation where he had been in a situation where he was hiding under some very heavy troops that some were alive and some weren't, in order to stay alive. And so at the end of life, he felt like those blankets were that memory. As soon as they understood that, this gentleman calmed down. He shared the entire story and he found peace. And I know it's kind of a difficult story or a conversation to have, but this is real life. And this is why it's important to be educated, and we honor veterans and educate our staff so we can take care of our veteran community.
Wow. Wow. That was powerful. Okay, Todd, so you mentioned earlier that you've previously chaired or co-chaired the Veteran Services Committee at Kansas City Hospice. What are some of the issues and questions you most often hear from veterans and their families?
Great question. You know, some people really are focused on where can we find a place to recognize our loved one. Others are benefits and, you know, talking about ceremonial situations, you know, with gun salutes, burial rights, and also benefits, not only for the surviving veteran, but for their families and loved ones. So we take a whole space and cover all of those, and we want to ask those questions so we can make sure they have everything they need.
Okay. All right. And so how does Kansas City Hospice address the specific needs of veterans at the end of life?
Well, I mean, first of all, we have to always ask why. Why do we want to do it? And it's because, you know, these folks have taken an oath and they have served our country. And I think we're very proud of that. And, you know, less than 1% of the population actually volunteers. We're in a voluntary armed services nation. And so there's a lot to be said about that. It's also something that is a healing thing in many ways, not only for the veteran, but for loved ones. So we take that very seriously. And people react and respond differently, Steve. We just want to give the opportunity so we understand. That's why the education that we do in this community is so important, so we know how to address any type of moral injury, any type of suffering, any type of healing that we can do. And we will act accordingly. We're not trying to force anything on anyone, but we want to understand so we know how best to recognize these veterans, because I have literally witnessed many times, more than I can count, these types of recognition ceremonies and conversations with veterans and families that are, I can't even tell you, it's amazing how much peace there is, not only with the veteran, but the family.
Okay, and as a veteran yourself, tell me about the importance of honoring our veterans.
Well, it's kind of a tricky thing to ask. I mean, people always tell me on Veterans Day, thank you for your service. And I joke and I say, well, thanks for paying your taxes. You know? And honestly, it's kind of embarrassing because, you know, I think most people that serve aren't doing it for the recognition or the thank you. So I think it's an interesting community to kind of break through with.
All right. Well, and so, and not to put you on the spot and not to embarrass you, but again, I mean, I want to thank you for your service. You know, we had, when the boys were little, and they kind of do their own prayers now, but every night, and I am not kidding, for years and years and years and years, we would go in, we'd have story time with our kids and our daughter, our boy. We have triplet boys, right? And our daughter. Wow. And, we would have story time and we would talk a little bit and then we would all say a prayer. And every single night we would pray for our veterans. We would pray for those serving in the military. We would pray that Jesus would keep them out of harm's way and bring them home safe. We prayed that every single night. And that has nothing to do with taxes. We are truly thankful for you and your bravery and your service. And again, I can't thank you enough.
I really appreciate that, Steve. Sounds like you got some good kids there too.
Yeah, they're incredible. So, hey, David and Todd, could you stay over with me into the third break here just a little longer with me, please?
Sure. That'd be great.
Sure, we'd be happy to.
All right. We're going to have more coming up next.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, call now, toll free, 1-800-331-6445. Operators are standing by, 1-800-331-6445. I'll be right back.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, go to seniorcarelive.com. And don't forget to check out our podcast of all of the recent episodes, again, at seniorcarelive.com and through all of the major podcast platforms. All right. Well, I hope you're enjoying our program today as we remember the 20th anniversary. And we're not celebrating, we're recognizing it, right? Because this is a big, tough, heavy day. Really, really thankful for my friends David Wiley and Todd Steinbrecher, both with Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care. And Todd, we had talked off mic here a little bit about you're a little bit put on the spot when someone says, you know, thank you for your service. Now, I definitely appreciate that. But then you had a really, really interesting comment, and I don't think I've ever heard this. Would you share the comment about Vietnam veterans and maybe a different way to respond to them?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the things that we and our veterans do is it's called trauma-informed care for veterans on a hospice initiative. And it's kind of interesting if you think about it. Most people, you know, when you talk about end of life, you wouldn't think that there would be a market research team to deepen our understanding of that. But the VA actually did that with the National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization for Vietnam veterans who are seeking hospice and palliative care. And what they did, they conducted interviews with hospice nurses, caregivers, and family members, and Vietnam veterans entering hospice care. And then they were able to craft protocols and create a care planning guide for providers. And the reason they did that was when folks came back from the Vietnam era, they not necessarily had a thank you for your service. And so one of the comments that I've heard over the years when I've been around Vietnam veterans is welcome home, because a lot of people didn't necessarily get that. There was a lot of political things going on.
Yep.
And so they ended up interviewing a lot of family members and Vietnam veterans. And that was really a central component of the research. And what these interviews enabled was for us to hear firsthand from veterans as to what was most important to them as they entered end-of-life care. And that included things like, you know, what was the role of their service and how would they like to reflect on it? And what was the importance of reconnecting to the service culture and the importance of ceremony and recognition? And these interviews enabled all of us to understand, you know, the complete experience and you know, being able to identify opportunities where, you know, it's one thing, like I was embarrassed, right? I mean, I'm proud. I'm really not embarrassed that I served. I just feel embarrassed when someone says, thank you for my service. Right. So just to clarify,
right. You're a very humble person. And like you said, you didn't go in for the recognition, but
right. Yeah. But I'm not like embarrassed.
Of course.
That I serve. Right.
So of course,
a lot of these interviews were conducted virtually, wherever possible. Hospice nurses served as liaisons. All these interviews were recorded and transcribed, and hospice teams were able to observe and they remain engaged if they so desired. And then they shared that information and they compiled this data. And what we found was the research identified specific things for different eras. So this happened to be the Vietnam era, because if you were a World War II veteran, you might have had a, you know, ticker tape parade and, you know, you were called the greatest generation. I don't know what they're going to call ours, but you know, Vietnam veterans are likely to be more skeptical of social and health services, including hospice. So it's really important because of the way they were treated or the services they didn't have back then when they came home with the VA. So it's just a very important pivot point, I think, in of the veteran eras and what we can do as a community to recognize everybody in the best way possible.
Well, and you know, you hit the nail on the head. World War II veterans, they had a hero's welcome, as they should have received. And unfortunately, because of the politicizing the war, and it got pretty ugly there. I was very young when all that happened, but I understand it. And Vietnam veterans did not have the same welcome, and far from it. And so you just gave me just this huge paradigm shift in the next time I meet a Vietnam veteran, and I always I go out of my way to say thank you for your service, but welcome home, and I'll know that is deeply meaningful to those veterans. So Todd, I really appreciate you sharing that story.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate that.
All right. So, David, earlier Todd shared some ways to commemorate the losses and sacrifices of 9/11. Are there any observances happening locally that our listening audience could be involved in?
Absolutely, Steve. You know, before I go into that, I just want to say that I'm so, I too am thankful to Todd for his service. I'm very proud of our We Honor Veterans Committee. We have a number of veterans that work for us, and we have a really strong committee that works really hard to make sure that these are meaningful ceremonies and conversations at the end of life. It's important to us because just about one in four of our admissions, the patient is a veteran, and we admit just under 4,000 people a year. So just about 1,000 of our patients each year are veterans. So this is a really important part of our operation. And again, I'm very proud of the team and the work that they do related to that.
Excellent.
But in terms of local listeners could be involved in, you know, our local news outlets have online listings for local memorial services. There's some freedom walks and some other observances. And I'd also like to encourage listeners to visit the 9/11 Memorial and Museum's 20th anniversary website. It includes a digital remembrance wall, and it remembers those who were killed and honors the service and sacrifice of the first responders who bravely ran into danger to save others with images and stories. And so anyone can add their own tribute to the wall, and it can be found at neverforget.org /remember.
All right. Excellent. Thank you so much, David Wiley and Todd Steinbrecher, both with Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care, for being here with me today to recognize the 20th anniversary of 9/11. And I'm so glad you're here today and we're able to share a lot of really great and excellent, important information for our listening audience. So David and Todd, thanks so much for being here today. I really appreciate you.
Thank you so much, Steve. Thank you, David.
Yeah, absolutely. And we appreciate the time, Steve. And we're thinking about today in a meaningful way with everyone. So thanks a lot.
Absolutely. Thanks again to David and Todd from Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care. And wow, you know, I learned a lot. I learned a lot there. First of all, 25% of our population doesn't remember 9/11. Man, that sounds high, but then, again, Todd mentioned like people under like five or six or younger, you're just not going to remember that, even as dramatic and traumatic as that was. That's just kind of how it goes when you're that little. I don't remember a lot of huge, huge events back when I was that little either. So that's just kind of how that goes. So and then a large number of people weren't even born yet. So that caught me off guard a little bit. That was very impactful. And then Todd's story about how to greet a Vietnam veteran, that caught me off guard as well. I very frequently, if I'm out and about and I see someone in uniform, I'll go up, I'll look them square in the eye, I'll shake their hand, and I'll say thank you for your service. And trust me, none of these people are looking for that. That's not why they enrolled. They enrolled and they enlisted to serve their country and defend our honor and our freedom. That's why they enlisted. But you know what, though? I think quietly, they also appreciate being appreciated. But they're not looking for it, okay? So there's that fine line. But if you know they're from Vietnam, and I see a lot of veterans proudly wearing their ball cap, says Vietnam vet, or something about Vietnam, served in Vietnam, every single time from this day going forward, I'm going to say thank you for your service and welcome home. And I think I know that'll be appreciated. And that's not just a guess. That was through a lot of studies that Todd had mentioned. Also, don't forget to check out Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care. They have a lot of different programs for veterans. And as you heard David mention, they serve 4,000 hospice patients per year. That's a lot of people receiving hospice care. And about 25% of them, or about 1,000 patients, hospice patients per year, served by Kansas City Hospice and Palliative Care, about 1,000 of them are veterans. So if you want to check out the programs available, understanding that some of the programs may have to be modified because of COVID, but there's a tremendous, the message is there's a tremendous amount of support for veterans. Check out kchospice.org or call 816-363-2600. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, call now, toll free, 1-800-331-6445. Operators are standing by, 1-800-331-6445. I'll be right back.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, go to seniorcarelive.com. All right, so today we're recognizing the 20th anniversary of 9/11, and it, like Todd mentioned earlier, 20 years ago, I mean, it seems like it was 20 years ago, and it doesn't seem like it was that long ago. And I think it was so impactful. It's just so fresh in your memory that it's just something that I'll never forget. That's for darn sure. And it's one of those moments in time where someone asks you the question, where were you when you learned about 9/11? Where were you when the space shuttle exploded? Where were you when JFK was shot? Right. I mean, just all of these, like these huge historic moments. Where were you? I'm going to share my story here in just a second, but wanted to mention that my firm, Senior Care Consulting, we have served so many veterans and their families over all of the years with different placement services. We find different levels of care for our veterans, whether they need the assisted living level of care, maybe they need long-term care. We may or may not need memory care. Worked with a lot of veterans who had a percentage of disability of one type or another due to their time in the service. And again, we always thank our veterans. If you haven't served, and I didn't serve, I have no idea what these men and women went through and the sacrifice and what they've seen and what they're living with. And so I do truly thank each and every one from the bottom of my heart. So when I'm working with veterans and their families, I always, every single time, I always ask about your service. Did you serve or did your spouse serve in a period of war? Did they serve in the military? If they did, when did they serve? And I always explore the possibility of having them qualify for the VA aid and attendance benefit. And I'll be having on a veteran service officer near Veterans Day coming up, and we'll unpack the VA aid and attendance benefit in detail. You won't want to miss that one coming up in November. Right. And I've also worked with a lot of families where they had their veteran on a waiting list for one of the veterans' homes here locally or in the region. But a lot of times there's maybe a 12, 18 month wait list. So we'll find placement for them so where they can get care, professional care in a senior care community while they're waiting on their turn in one of these veteran homes. So we do serve a lot of veterans and their families with my firm, Senior Care Consulting, and we are honored to do so. All right. So my story, 9/11, I'll never forget this. I was working with a corporation, and I was a vice president level of sales, marketing, business development, and I was flying out of Kansas City that morning. It was a beautiful, beautiful morning. I was up early. Drove to the airport, got on the plane. We took off. I was flying to Indianapolis, Indiana. I'll never forget this. We stopped in St. Louis. A few people got off. A few people got on. And we took off. And none of us had any idea. I was in the air on an airplane when all of this stuff went down. And that kind of blows me away. There was a big question about, you know, how many other planes were involved. Ultimately, obviously, four were. Were there more? Maybe we'll never know. I don't know. But I was on a plane when this all went down. And then when we landed, and it didn't dawn on me right away, but all of the staff, they were up front, and they had these stone faces watching everyone get off the plane. And I thought it was a little bit weird. Usually they're friendly and, hey, thanks for flying, blah, blah, blah. That didn't happen. And I realized that later. Then I get off the plane and go to the terminal, and the whole terminal was completely empty in Indianapolis. And then I look over to my left, and there must have been 100 people crowded around two televisions in a little sports bar right off of our gate. And I thought, what in the world is going on? And I walked over there, and I'm looking at the television, and I didn't know what that was. And then I thought, oh, my gosh, that looks like the Twin Towers. And I asked somebody, I said, what happened? And he said, we got hit, man. We got hit. And I'm looking at that, and I'm trying to wrap my brain around that. And then it just started dawning on me what happened. And then I watched the first tower fall. And I was just... I was completely blown away. So, after watching that, I didn't realize this was going to be that hard. I immediately left that place and called my wife. She was at home with our baby daughter, newborn baby daughter. She had no idea. She answered the phone like she always does. And I said, "Do you have the television on?" And she said, "No, I'm listening to music." And I said, "Turn it on." That's how she found out about it. She wanted me to come home right away. I was on a business trip. I had a lot of work to do, but I needed to be home with my family. But I was out of state. So I started calling around looking for all the airport. I couldn't catch a flight back. All airplanes were grounded. All flights stopped for days. Remember that? So I started looking for a rental car. They were all rented. There was literally not a single rental car in the entire state of Indiana. So I just went to work like I had scheduled for a couple of days. And I had one of the rental car places searching for a car for me. He said, "First car I get my hands on, it's yours." A couple days later, I got a call. "Sir, we've got a rental car coming in this afternoon. Do you still want it?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I'll take it." So when the car came in, I got the car, and I drove home to Kansas City from Indianapolis. That was the longest drive. I just wanted to be home with my family. I was shocked. I was sad. Shared the news with my wife, with my family, with my mom. And then I got so angry. I was beyond furious. I was furious. And then you come to terms with it, and then you adjust like everyone did everything. So I just wanted to share that quick story with you. Didn't realize how hard that was going to be. Just want to say God bless those who lost someone in 9/11. God bless our veterans. God bless our first responders. And God bless all of those serving in our military. And may God bless America.